All right. Alvin Queen on drums leads the band today with There's Blues Everywhere. Ain't it the truth? Jesse Davis is on alto sax. Terrell Stafford is on trumpet and flugelhorn. Mike LaDon is on the Hammond B3. You ought to know that name. He's an excellent organist. And Peter Bernstein on guitar. This is from Queen's 2006 album, I Ain't Looking at You. I love the name of that album. I Ain't Looking at You. Welcome to Lead Stories. This is Utrecht Lead, and it is Free Your Mind Friday. So, what is Free Your Mind Friday, you ask? Those of you tuning in perhaps for the first time, welcome. And let me explain very briefly what it's about. We suspend our regular programming format on Free Your Mind Friday to accommodate a kind of public forum. Not a kind of, it is a public forum where people can express their particular opinions about a given subject that they think people need to know about. It does not matter whether people agree with you or don't agree with you. It matters that you take a position and you justify, if you want to use that word, if I want to use that word, and I did just did, you explain your position. And people, it is up to people to decide whether they want to take it and run with it, or that they are satisfied that you've done a good job presenting your case. What is this exercise about? It is about getting folks used to the idea of being public about their opinions, sharing their opinions, but in a scientific and methodical way. You don't just get on the air and you start yammering. That is not what the concept is. The concept is you have something important to say, at least you think it's important. And so you organize your thoughts into a brief presentation. And the presentation, of course, is meant to carry your point forward, but in a disciplined and thoughtful way. This makes you acquire new skills, or sometimes it just helps you sharpen the skills you already have, so that you become more adept at speaking publicly, expressing your thoughts publicly, and of course, making sense as you express your thoughts. That makes you, in turn, a very valuable contributor to our community, assuming that many of the things that you want to talk about are things that we all want to talk about and we might be interested in. So that's the purpose of Free Your Mind Friday. Again, very important that you proceed with the confidence of knowing it is not important whether people agree or disagree with your point of view. But it is important that you do present your point of view in a manner that people can appreciate that you have an opinion, and not just an opinion, but a considered opinion. Don't just get on there and start yammering, because I'm going to get a little bit. How do you say, a little bit more stringent. If you're not using your time well, we will allow somebody else to come on who has the idea down pat and is meeting the expectations, and we just move along. Okay? 888-874-4888 is the number to call to initiate action on Free Your Mind Friday. We start off with Harvey from Berkeley. Hello, Harvey. You're on the air.
Hello, Ultra Fantastic Utrice.
Thank you, Ultra Fantastic Harvey.
Well, I have great news. A July 15th headline stated U.S. seeks to speed solar rooftop growth with instant permits. And the article went on to say that the Biden administration started a program which will enable instant local permitting of solar rooftop installations called the Solar Automated Permit Processing Platform, which was developed by the Department of Energy's National Renewable Energy Laboratory, and it will be an optional portal for local governments to process rooftop solar permit applications automatically. And this new solar permit program will create thousands of new jobs in both the manufacture and installation of solar panels and solar rooftop shingles across America. And the wonderful part is that once manufactured and installed, solar panels use no water except for an occasional cleaning over their estimated 20 to 25 year warranty lifetime. They also emit no greenhouse gases, have no moving parts, and make no noise. Another bonus is that the majority of photovoltaic panels, that means a light to electricity, photovoltaic, is that they're easily recycled. And a typical solar installation payback time in the U.S. is about 8 years. And with the proper maintenance of your solar panels, they could run for as long as 40 to 50 years. And with the arrival of EVs, that's electric vehicles, and you plug, and if you buy and plug your new EV into your home's solar rooftop installation for recharging instead of buying gasoline, the money that you'll be saving on fuel bills can be put towards shortening the payback time of your solar rooftop installation from 8 years to, say, about 5 years. And after paying off your solar rooftop installation in 5 years, you now have 15 years or more of free renewable solar electricity for both your home and your electric vehicle. So just add up last year's electric utility bills and your gasoline bills, and multiply that times 15 years of free solar electricity, and that's how much money that you'll be able to keep in your pocket by going solar. So it's good for us, it's good for our planet, and I say let's get solar. And thank you, Utrice.
And thank you, Harvey, for that. That's very solid information that you just shared with us. 888-874-4888. It is Free Your Mind Friday on Lead Stories. Is there a particular issue that you take issue with? And if so, for what reason? And share it with us, and let's see if we agree. Let's see if we appreciate your argument. 888-874-4888. A couple of things I want to remind you about is includes, you know, telling people, the people in your circle, to join our program. But of course, it always can use some help with advertising, and word of mouth advertising is perhaps the most effective. So if you have a circle of friends, you just pass the word that you tune in to Lead Stories every day, Monday through Friday, from 1 to 2 p.m. Eastern Time, and they'll make the adjustment in whatever time zone they're in. And we start adding people to our circle. Tony from Orlando, how are you? I haven't heard from you in a while.
Yeah, I'm doing fine. Thanks for asking, Utrice.
Great.
Now, I know Harvey is a very educated person when it comes to technologies and new innovations, but I have to disagree with him on the cost of efficiency of solar panels, because I currently pay about $170 per month for electricity here in the state of Florida, and that's with the extreme heat and running of the lights and the air conditioning and whatnot in the home. That averages out to about $2,000 per year. He says it will pay itself off in 8 years. So 8 times $2,000, that's $16,000. There is currently not any solar panel kit that you can have a company install for $16,000 that I know of. Most of them average about over $30,000. So those numbers that he gave are inaccurate. I just wanted to point that out.
Okay. Well, you've pointed out. How do you feel as a solar power user? Was it a better choice than going the regular route?
Well, I don't have solar power, and it's because precisely what I just mentioned, that it takes longer for the investment to pay itself off. And most of those solar panel cells, the panels itself, they only have, especially here in Florida, because you living in Florida very well know that the sun destroys everything here. I mean, the car, you cannot leave your car outside. I leave both of my cars outside. I can't put them inside of a garage. So the rooftop of my car is completely destroyed. The solar panels get destroyed eventually by the sun itself, and they only have a lifespan of about 20 years. So by the time you come around paying for them, it's time to buy a new panel. And that's precisely why I don't believe it's a good investment just yet. I mean, if the cost was to come down, then yes. But right now, the cost, I believe, is a little too high for your average person. Now, if you're a wealthy person and you can afford it, and it's a cool idea, go for it. But again, not everybody can afford to drive a Tesla, and not everybody can afford to have solar panels on their homes. But I am a big proponent for having mandating your Walmarts, your Amazons. These people that create huge buildings like to store, for warehouses or what have you, that have plenty of real estate on top of their roofs, those type of construction should require solar panel installation, and they can afford it, and it also helps the rest of the community around them. And I'm not against solar panel. I just don't think that it's cost-effective enough for your average person today.
Why do you think that is, by the way? I mean, if this is the best alternative to what we have now, which is we consume all this energy, and this is free energy, why not make it possible for people to have easier access to solar power?
The major part of it is the electric companies. They lobby against making it easier for your average person, well, for municipality, for the laws in each state to enable for the use of solar powers and how you use solar energy. Because I know in many states, you don't use all of the energy that's produced in the day. What happens is it goes back into the grid, and they actually reimburse you yearly or what have you, or quarterly, for that electricity that was generated by your home, that extra electricity. And and they don't want that. They don't want you to be self-sufficient. It's like the cable companies. It's a monopoly. And that's what you have. You have monopolies with the electric companies, and they're a big part of it. And also, the solar panel itself costs money to install. And then to have a professional electrician that knows how to install the solar panels, they have to make their cut. So it's a multi-layer, domino effect that creates the cost of having a solar panel system installed in your home.
Well, thanks, Tony. That's an entirely different view and worth listening to and taking heed of. Thank you so much for calling. I'm so glad to hear from you today. Patricia from New York, speaking of glad to hear from you, glad to hear from you.
Well, thank you so much, Utrice, and good afternoon to you and the PRN family. I actually just want to chime in on this solar panel experience because I actually agree with Harvey and disagree with the previous caller. Let me tell you my experience with solar panels. Well, it's actually not mine. My son and my daughter-in-law, they live in, and I have three grandchildren, so it's five, and they own their home in Texas. And literally this time last year, he installed solar panels on his house. Before the solar panels, he was averaging about 500, his bills were about $500 a month, and he was really crying about these bills. And while I would agree with the previous caller that the panels were really pricey to purchase and install, there are programs because the federal government is incentivizing people to transfer to solar panels, and so he was able to get their tax rebates that are available for you to use on your federal taxes. So he was able to actually curtail the cost of the purchase and installation. He got a $20,000 credit on his federal income tax. And for the first time, when I asked him, especially in the summertime when you know it's very hot in Texas, and the air conditioning was really killing them, they actually got a credit on their bills. He has not paid an electric bill in over a year. And, of course, they plan to remain in that home for a while. So it will not only pay for itself, I would say, in about 7 or 8 years, but then after that, he will have absolutely no expense. And he absolutely loves it. Absolutely loves it. So I can only share his experience with you, but I can tell you he loves it.
Well, all right. How about you in New York City? Are you thinking of going non-electric?
I live in an apartment building, so I have no control over that.
Oh, I see. Okay. Well, thanks for calling. Good to hear from you.
Yes. Have a good weekend.
Good. You too. Thank you. Gwen from New York, you're on the air.
Hi, Utrice.
Hey.
Let's talk solar. I agree with Harvey, and I wanted to just pass this on that, my parents live in Cape May, New Jersey, which is a very wealthy town. But next to Cape May is some pretty poverty-stricken areas. And I noticed this last year that almost all of them had solar on their roofs. And I know that it has been expensive in the past to put in, but I think what Patricia said is absolutely right. There's lots of incentives out there to help you get them on. And I think the state and the federal government are both very helpful, or they want to be helpful in helping you get it. So, and I think initially it's expensive up front, but, if you live in an area where there's storms and outages, I think that it's great to have solar. Well, I think it's great to have solar everywhere, but particularly in areas that are vulnerable because, if I remember in Puerto Rico, the people that had the solar panels on their houses after the storms were still able to get electricity, and the ones that have rain barrels were able to have water. So I think given where we are with these storms, that these are really good things. I also want to say that when I ran for city council, it is on my platform, two things. One of them was my vision was to see a windmill on both windmills up and down the East River as well as the Hudson River, because I know these windmills work. They have four of them in Atlantic City, New Jersey, and they are a miracle. Four windmills when you go in, and these windmills provide enough electricity to desalinate all of the water for the city of Atlantic City. And then they have some left over that they sell off for a third of what the other electricity costs. So, it would be fantastic to see in New York. I mean, the other thing that I want to see is every single building in New York including tenements and regular apartment buildings. We should all have solar on our roofs. I mean, you know, in the city of New York, it's so disgusting. All of these telephone companies have put these dangerous telephone towers on top of rent-stabilized buildings. You're not allowed to put them on the beautiful luxury buildings because people that are rich know that it's probably dangerous to have this on your building. But if you go through my neighborhood, everything that's five stories and rent-stabilized, the way the landlords are making money now is like Verizon or AT&T will pay you $15,000 to $40,000 a month to put these towers up there. So we have all this other junk that is not helping the tenants at all. It's probably hurting us, giving us cancer. So these roofs are an area that we can really use to totally generate electricity all over this city. And this city has not only the two-legged hot air coming at you, but our you know, because you lived here, how windy it gets in the wintertime here. It gets really, really windy on both these rivers. And I had a vision of putting windmills on like almost every block of the city on both sides, because they are a fantastic way of generating electricity. And I think in this city, given the huge amount of buildings that we have, that we could make a lot of solar energy here, and we could probably sell off our solar energy to other states. So, I mean, I think solar is—look, we have no other choice here. You can have all the dollar bills you want in your little wallet, and then you can go out like people in Germany did yesterday and get washed away by your rivers that rose up so high because of global warming. So, you know, everybody wants to be comfortable. That's true. But, like, it's pretty uncomfortable now with this global warming. Lots of people are dying, and it's only going to get worse. So we are way, way behind this in time-wise. We are way behind. We let just, once again, a handful of people that are probably – something is mentally wrong with them that they have to be that wealthy. But because they have to be that wealthy, we decided not to jeopardize their businesses. That's the oil industry. And we decided to continue to do ridiculous things. You know that the government subsidizes fracking, and fracking is one of the most expensive. We subsidize fracking. We also subsidize nuclear power. These are really the most dirty kinds of energy there is, and we're paying for it as taxpayers. Why aren't we willing to, like, pay for something that's not going to hurt us, like the solar? And, yeah, I know about the panels down the road and how they're difficult to dispose of. But for right now, it's not like nuclear energy. Nuclear energy is one accident is Fukushima, and that's it. And there's no turning back after that. So I'm sure that at some point we'll figure out how to facilitate the removal of these panels and reuse them again, recycle them some way. But for right now, I think that we are in an emergency situation. There's no two ways about it. And we don't have time anymore to waste on this crap. We can't help billionaires. We can't help them with their mental illness. We can't help Bloomberg. We can't help, you know, Jeffrey, I mean, the guy with Amazon. We can't help them anymore. We have to think of ourselves as a larger group than just one person making $1 billion or several billion dollars a year. We have to think about ourselves, and we have to think about the planet, and we have to start doing the right things as soon as possible. So they are the proposals that I put forth on my, you know, my platform as running for, you know, the city council here in New York. But I think just as a regular person, get those panels up. Take back your energy.
All right. Thank you very much. Thank you, Gwen, for calling in today. Good to hear from you. Andrew from Florida, you're on the air.
Yes, hi, Eutrice, and very interesting discussion. What they left out, some of your callers, are that the latest in solar panel installation and electric production here in Florida, and perhaps in other states as well, is that there is no storage of electricity. You are connected to the grid directly. So if there's a storm and the electricity is down, your solar panels ain't going to give you nothing because you have no batteries. If you install solar panels on your roof right now here in Florida, the majority of the people will be connected directly to the grid, to the electric company. You have no storage batteries to store the electricity. It doesn't come with it. This is the latest that I've been informed about it, because they came knocking on my door and they said, this is what we're offering. And I said, well, in a case of a storm, when we lose electricity and the grid is down, then I don't have electricity either, right? He said, that's correct. I said, well, that defeats the purpose, right? Anyway, and the other thing, that's number one. Number two is, I am happy right now with what I have here in Florida. Electricity bill is decent, whatever. And I don't owe the company, the electric company, anything, or anybody anything, as a matter of fact, okay? So now, whoever is going to install something on my roof, the panels, I'm going to get into a loan situation of $15,000. So every month I'll be paying a loan. I don't have a loan right now. I don't want a loan. So you're getting into debt. So I'm all for solar panels, for electricity, alternative energies, absolutely. But this no battery solar situation is not good for Florida, where we have storms and we lose electricity often.
Yes, we do.
Okay, that's all.
Well,
I have to
thank
say.
You.
Thank you so much.
That, I hope, Harvey, you're listening and you appreciating the discussion that you started today. We'll take this break and come right back at 888-874-4888 right after that. Oh, yes. It's the title of this is There's Blues Everywhere. And isn't that true? It is absolutely true. 888-874-4888. You're listening to Lead Stories on PRN.FM. And it is Free Your Mind Friday. You could talk about whatever it is you want to talk about, but it should be an opinion of some sort. Give us an opinion. It doesn't matter whether you think people would like it or don't like it, but the idea is to get used to expressing an opinion. And people just have to deal with it. Hopefully, as you express your opinion, you're presenting facts, you're presenting a rationale, you're presenting a cogent point of view that people could appreciate and make up their minds. But in any event, it's a day to express your opinion on a subject. We started off with one call on solar power, and look where we are. It's a chain reaction. That's great. I like that. 888-874-4888 is the number to call. Let's hear what you're thinking. What do you have on your mind that you'd like to free your mind of today? What are you thinking? What is a major issue in your mind that you would like to talk about and encourage other people to think about? Michael from New York, you're on the air.
Yes, good afternoon, Eutrice. Always have
good
fun
afternoon.
Listening to you. Yes, calling in reference to the solar panel issue. The lady who spoke a little while ago was telling you about putting solar panels in case there's an emergency and the grid is down. Well, like the gentleman just said before, that's not true. And the reason why, there's two types of systems when it comes to solar panels. We have an on-grid system and an off-grid system. Most people that have solar panels on their house have what we call an on-grid system. This means the power that they make from their solar panels goes directly to the grid, and there is no storage. So the alternate system is what we call an off-grid system, in which you have batteries for storage. If you have an off-grid system, you're charging batteries during the daytime while there's solar energy. And at nighttime, or when there's no solar energy, you run the appliances or you can run your whole home off batteries, providing that you have enough battery backup power. So you size the batteries according to the size of your property and how much power you're going to need in the event of loss of power. So that's what we call an off-grid system. If you have an off-grid system, then that's true. But for 90% of the systems that are installed on houses, there is no soul, there is no backup. So therefore, if the power grid goes down, you have no power. So I just want to clarify that on grid, you're just putting power on the grid, you have no backup. Off grid system, you would have backup in case of some kind of an energy shortage. And that's my little piece.
What's the money difference here in off grid?
Oh, the money difference would be the cost of the batteries can be very costly. Of course, the more power you require to run your home, the more batteries you need. And we could say the difference probably would be somewhere around $8,000 to $10,000 because you'd have to put battery backup. And you could use maybe 12 batteries up to maybe 20 batteries, depending on how big your property is and how much kilowatts of power you need to power your property in the event of a failure. So that I would say the difference could be easily $8,000 to $10,000. To have an off, wow. At that point, we'd call it a hybrid system, where you're putting power on the grid, and but you put power on the grid after you charge your batteries. So you're charging your batteries, so you can be sustained in any event. So we're talking about $8,000 to $10,000 difference in that kind of a system. That's why they're not that popular.
Wow, that's a lot of money. Thank you, Michael, for calling in and chiming in as well. Thank you.
It was my pleasure.
888-874-4888. What's on your mind that you'd like to free it of today? With a strong opinion, pro or con, it doesn't matter. As long as we could appreciate what your argument is, that's the point of the whole thing. We're not used to basically appreciating a point of view for what it is. Most of us come to the issue of points of view with the idea that it has to be one way or the other. And that is detrimental, really, because you're denying yourself a full and comprehensive picture of whatever the issue is. And it is important, even if people do not agree, that they appreciate your argument and that you took the time in presenting a point of view, not just to present your personal point of view, but you presenting information from which people can discern where they're likely to go or what they're likely to pursue for more information about a particular subject that you raise. That's important. That's very important. So don't get angry if you don't agree. You just don't agree. But make it possible that the conversation that you're hearing, make it possible that it sparks in you an interest in finding out more information. You may find that you agree when you thought you disagreed, or that there's new information to be had that fills out a lot of the holes that you probably spot in somebody's discussion of a subject. And you'd say, wow, I didn't know that. Or I think I like this aspect of this. So you start exploring some more. That's very important. And that's the whole point of Free Your Mind Friday. You have a point of view, by all means, feel free to express it. But also give a little leeway here in letting us know, the people listening to you, that you yourself have thought of the pros and cons. And we saw that today. This is why the conversation is so interesting. Who thought that solar power would dominate the discussion today with so many other things that could possibly be put on the table? But it is because people are thinking, maybe I need to look into this a little bit more. Maybe I need to search out more information on this. And I really appreciate that. Ray from Florida, you're on the air.
I'd like to comment on your previous caller. He made the comment that the off-grid systems, the batteries can power your household appliances. That's not true. The batteries store direct current, and everything in your house runs on alternating current. So there has to be another piece of equipment called the DC to AC converter that takes the voltage stored in the batteries and converts it into useful household current. And the second other thing, a lot of people seem to these federal grants that make things affordable, that money is still coming out of someone else's pocket. So don't look at it as free something. It's shifting the cost to people who presumably can afford it. That's about it. An interesting topic.
Okay, Ray. Thank you so much for your information and for sharing it today.
My pleasure.
Thank you. Brother David from Brooklyn, what have you to say today?
Yes, it's good to talk with you.
Thank you.
I'm going to change direction. I don't have anything to say about solar panels, but I was thinking about what was talked about earlier this week, principally about Haiti. And what comes to my mind that I think everyone should really think about, we all know that Haiti broke away from imperial power in terms of France. And some of us know that they were made to pay reparations to their imperial power, and they suffered blockades and boycotts and things like that. And what comes to my mind is that during the age of, let's say, imperialism, where you had colonies, you know, the Berlin Conference, where they divided up Africa and there were colonies all over South and Central America and so forth. And these colonies eventually, at the stage of, let's say, the 20th century, most of them were released from their colonial relationship. But they, for the most part, I think people ought to realize that these turned into neo-colonies. And that is what we have practically all over the world. All these countries in South and Central America and Africa and so forth, truth be told, they are essentially neo-colonies. If they don't fall into line, something bad will happen to them. And it's not pleasant. So I think that is what people need to understand, that even though these are supposed to be free, sovereign countries, they are not. And the big hegemon is the United States of America. And if you cross the United States of America, you're going to suffer sanctions, boycotts, and bad things will happen to your leadership. So I think that is important to get into mind about what the situation really is. So even though Haiti broke away from the French, at this time, it is essentially a neo-colony of the United States and somewhat Canada and France also. And if you don't do what they want you to do in all of these colonies, it means supplying the labor of your people at a cheap or free price, or supplying the resources of your country, the natural resources, to the big hegemon, the imperial power. And right now, the biggest imperial power is the United States. And we have some like Russia and China. but the big hegemon is the USA. So that's what else is on my mind today.
All right. Thank you. Good to hear from you. I appreciate your call. Thank you. Duke from Jersey City, you're on the air.
Utrice?
Yes.
Hey, Utrice. Can I jump in on this solar thing?
You can. It's free your mind. So you choose your topic.
So I'm in Jersey City, right? I ran into it when I moved out here. I met a guy. He lives in an apartment building. And he's one of these guys like Harvey. He's a computer, a tech nerd. I don't want to use the word nerd. He's a genius, actually. He's a tech genius like Harvey. And this guy is big on being independent and off the grid and all this stuff, right? So I go into his place. He lives, him and his girlfriend. So they don't have any kids, no pets. And when I go into the place, I notice in every window in each room, it was like a five-room apartment. In every window, he had these things in the window. I recognized them right away as solar panels. So in every room, he had these panels. But then what really kind of bugged me out was the panels had wiring that went to, like, a battery inside his apartment. So he starts explaining this to me. And what it is, these batteries were, like, about the size of a car battery. And they're lithium batteries. So in every room, he had solar panels in his windows hooked up to a lithium battery. So he had about four of these batteries in his apartment with the wiring and all of this kind of crazy stuff. I'm thinking, this has got to be dangerous. So I started asking him about the price. These batteries alone cost about $1,000 per battery. I think he said like nine something. So right there, you're at $4,000. And then you have the cost for the panels. He had a panel in every window. So I don't know, you do the math, that may be another couple thousand dollars, right? And so he's saying to me, everything in my apartment, Duke, is powered by the sun. He doesn't have any air condition. That's another thing. Everything that we run that uses electricity is powered by the sun. The only thing in this apartment that's not is the refrigerator in the kitchen. I said, okay, wow, that sounds, man, that's great. So you ended up putting out about, say, $7,000-$8,000, and now you don't have an electric bill, or you have a very small electric bill just for your refrigerator, right? He said, yeah. Okay, that made sense to me. But then he started explaining that these batteries have a life cycle. Okay, tell me, well, what's the life cycle? The life cycle was only like, I don't even think it was 10 years. So you're telling me in 10 years' time, you're going to have to do that same investment again to get new batteries, right? It just didn't make sense. When I added up what I pay every month for my utility bill, gas and electric, and if I calculated that over 10 years, he's not saving anything. So what is the point? And then, like I said, he's one of these guys who he just wants to be off the grid and blah, 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 blah. So I just wanted to throw that out there because I have firsthand experience with
that. That is a very important, don't discount it. even if it doesn't make sense to you, it makes sense to him. And he acted on it and actualized it. For some people...
It makes sense if you about $10,000 to put up.
Yes, but you're thinking in terms of... You're thinking in those terms. He is not. And you have to give some room for people to make up their own minds about what they want to do with their money and their resources. That's what he thinks.
Absolutely. We had that discussion. And for him, he didn't care about the money.
There you go.
He's one of these people who want to be off the grid and independent. And so, you know, just at the moment, he's living in an urban setting in an apartment. But he said, you know, you can still do this. You don't have children. You don't have pets. And he's one of these guys. He knows how to deal with the wiring and all of that. So the danger level apparently was very low. So I don't know if I could do that, but the sun is there for us to get the energy. That's for sure.
Well, the idea that I wanted to raise is that for some people, a decision like his doesn't make sense because they're thinking of it purely in a monetary way. But for other people, it makes perfect sense because they are achieving an alternative lifestyle that they believe puts them independent of a system.
Exactly.
And so my idea is he is happy with what he's doing. Hip, hip, hooray.
And, yes. No, I agree with you.
Let him go do what he's going to do. Maybe, you know, in a month or two, he'd come back to you and reveal something that you will find interesting about what he has saved or how he has used his system to his advantage. You never know. But it is important just to appreciate what his thinking is and let him go do his thing. Thank you for calling in. George from North Carolina, you're on the air. Hello, George. You're on the air.
Yes. Okay. I know how to start off on this, but let's start off, okay? I've been listening to some stuff. I listen, okay? And I'm a listener. I call myself a listener, okay? The reason why I am that, because that is the first thing a person needs to do with another human being, okay? So I will call you up and, first thing people will say to you is this. This here, how you doing? Okay. Me, I will not ask you how you're doing. Okay. What I will do, I will listen to you. And then within, you know, a minute or two, I might ask you how you're doing. But I'll listen to how you are doing. I will listen. And that will tell me how you're doing, too. So I really don't have to ask you how you're doing, because I will listen for that. Okay. So I go back, and I listen to things like all the people that enslaved black people. Okay? There's a Russia. Russia did not enslave no black people. Can you believe that?
Well, there are questions about that.
Okay.
Because at that time, there was hardly any country that exempted itself from the heinous practice of slavery.
Okay. Okay. All right, I didn't know that. Okay, how about India? How did they fare with their colonization? Were they raped and, you know, beat like the black people were? You know,
India is a caste system.
Okay.
And a caste system operates on a very different set of principles. I hate to use the word principles. A very different set of beliefs. that have to do with religious beliefs as well, in, as to what were you born to do? Where were you born? I mean, at what were you born to function as in a society? That also is part of the caste system, so that the lowest on the economic ladder were usually the most oppressed. And it coincided, when you look at people who, the Dalit and other people, dark-skinned people in India, they tended to be on receiving end of the brunt of the social problems in the country. Still are. In the poorest caste, they usually do not have good jobs or any jobs. And theirs is a subsistence life. They live barely on the margins. Even in China, you have the same thing.
Okay, so everybody else complaining. We complain about it. Everybody else is human rights all over the world, but we don't complain to India. Others, India got business going on with us and all kinds of stuff, but we don't complain about that human rights like the government. They should complain about that human rights in India, but somehow they don't seem to do that. Okay, and you know,
but that's, not true. That's not true.
Okay,
at the United Nations, there has been a never-ending discussion about getting these major nations, major powers, to do the right thing, but it takes time, because the United Nations doesn't have military might to force its hand. What it does is it tries to bring people together in consensus and to urge that governments take a different tact. But it's a long process, a long process. They haven't engaged in war, which is what normally used to be the answer. A country doesn't agree with what another country is doing, they go to war. But the United Nations can't do that and doesn't do that.
Okay, so there's things that's not clear. When people put the news out, they really, I don't understand what happened in Rwanda. I just don't, because nobody has made it clear. All them people got killed, and somehow the news just haven't made that clear to me, okay?
Well, that's a fair point, but I have to ask you, have you done any reading about it? Have you done any research about it?
No, I really haven't. I really haven't. But even though you got people like you, you're like a news source too. And somehow I haven't heard that from anybody.
Yes, but this is your job.
I
owe it to yourself.
I understand that.
You owe it to yourself to find out more. This is my advice to you. Get off your rusty dusty and go to the library. Check out a book and begin to read and acquire information. Not that what you're reading is the truth either. You have to read defensively. But you would want to start a habit that should take you all the way to the grave, okay? Which is, you yourself initiate the action of looking more deeply into things. You have a library, I'm sure, where you are, and you can get information and develop the information more deeply as you go. But you can't just say, well, they haven't said anything to me, so I don't know. That's not an explanation.
No,
that's
no.
That's not a good explanation.
I'm clear on that. I am clear. Okay, I agree.
Okay.
Okay. But another thing I want to say too is about when I'm listening to people when they're talking, okay? All right, now, I will listen to you, and then I will hear you say, I'm not lying. I never say that stuff. They say, I'm not lying. I didn't expect you to be lying, okay? I would lie to you. What the hell are you talking about? Excuse me. Oh, I said,
well, sometimes it means something else that I know you don't believe me, so they say I'm not lying. Or sometimes they're known to be liars, so they try to stretch the point and say, in this instance, you could believe me because I'm not lying. Well, we have to bring it to an end here because we're out of time. I'm so glad that you called today, George. I enjoyed your time with us here today and encourage you to join us more often.
Oh, I'm not listening every day. Okay.
Thank you. Thanks for your interest in the program. And you'll find out that you learn a lot just by listening. It's great. So thank you all. This is a good weekend for you to relax and get back in tune with people that you've lost connection with for whatever reason. Surround yourselves with people who bring good dimension, good things into your life, and prepare yourself for yet another week. If it is so ordained. Thanks so much. We'll see each other Monday. Bye-bye.